Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. A lot going on. Eric is going to join us momentarily out in Los Angeles via Skype. We'll talk with Eric Sorensen. He is out with U of A. They are on the practice court today, Sweet 16 tomorrow. Miles Simon is going to be with us today. I think Miles Simon is one of those, we like to say on this show, if you've been watching for the last 3 years, a riser in the industry. Somebody that you look at and you say, you know, they're heading in the right direction in terms of their career. Brock Huard was a riser 3 years ago, and he's totally unequivocally arrived. Miles Simon at about 10:30. We'll visit with him. A couple other people I'm working on, and we'll just see if they fall into place or not. There's a ton going on here locally. Jared Cohen is in producing today for Eric. He joins us as well on the show. So we've got the whole crew here. Jared Nielsen is going to try to attempt to navigate through this train wreck. Let's see what's going on in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. And I say that lovingly. Honda Resort and Casino. Every day we're on a tightrope here. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Yesterday, Big Mark called me up at the from the Honda Resort and Casino in Pine Top. Called me last night, 6 o'clock. How are things going? What's new on your end? Everything good? You guys happy? I said, of course. Are everything good on your end? I said, it's great. We've got terrific entertainment coming up. We've got big events, big acts that are coming to perform at the Honda Resort and Casino. You can come up here, Brad, of course, and see the snow that's down on the ground and go to sunrise and all that. I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. All the fun, but also you can pull down on the slots, have some big winnings as well. Do that all at the Honda Resort and Casino, Honda Resort and Casino, which is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The NFL owners' meetings are going on right now, and at some point, Commissioner Goodell is going to step to the podium, and I want to dive into that for a couple of minutes. Today is his wrap-up. The meetings are finishing up over at the Biltmore, and there's been quite a bit done on the rules end of things that I'm getting questions from fans on, so we may dive into that for a couple of minutes, and we'll hear from Mike Zimmer, who spoke a couple of hours ago about Adrian Peterson. More saber rattling, so to speak, with the Vikings and Adrian Peterson. And there's a new team involved in Adrian Peterson. Some news about Brett Hundley and the Cardinals, the Suns and their deal. And I'm going to get into the ASU coaching search because yesterday was just kind of, I don't know, it was Twitter bait all over the place. Twitter is really cool in one sense. On the other hand, clickbaiting is going on. Clickbaiting is where media outlets throw out stuff that just screams, please click, because we got to sell clicks to people. Oh my gosh, we know it's not true. We know it's not going to happen, but it's clickbait. And it's the downside of social media. So, but I've got some thoughts on some things. I've made some calls and talked to some people whose opinions I respect, much smarter than I'll ever be, on some of these names that have popped up around ASU. So I'll have that as well. Let's start, though, with the story that is going to pick up steam beginning today, and we always try to be ahead of what's going on locally. We're Arizona-centric, and that is U of A in the Sweet 16 tomorrow. They are against Xavier, in Los Angeles, and in L.A., that is where Eric Sorensen is. We kicked him out of the studio, and I'd had enough. I'd been to Vegas and Portland the last 2 weeks. Eric is in Los Angeles. He joins us now via Skype for a couple of minutes. Where are you exactly? You at a Starbucks or something?
I'm hanging outside the beautiful Burbank, California, about a 25-minute drive, just a little bit northeast of Staples Center, where I'll be headed as soon as we get done with this, Brad.
Yeah, Burbank's a dump, so let's don't call it beautiful. That airport's not half bad. I'll give you that. You sound fine, by the way, via Skype. It's not terrific, but you're good enough. So what are your plans today with the U of A? What are you planning on doing with U of A today?
Well, today, Coach Sean Miller and a select few of the U of A Wildcats will be addressing the media before their practice. U of A is the highest seed, therefore they will practice last. And one of the stories I'm working on is almost 1 year ago to the day U of A was here last year, Brandon Ashley was walking in a walking boot. Now he is preparing as a player to go into the Sweet 16. So almost 1 year to the day. It would be 1 year ago tomorrow that I talked to Ashley in Anaheim. Today I'm going to talk to him in Staples Center as a player and not a spectator.
All right. So that's this afternoon. You know it's going to be a U of A convention over there, although I'm hearing Wisconsin fans are going to show up in perhaps bigger force. You and I were there 2 years ago doing the show when Ohio State was out, and there were a lot of Buckeye fans. What are you anticipating between Wisconsin and Arizona? Because I don't think Xavier's going to roll through. And North Carolina, of course, has a great following, but this is not a great North Carolina team. What are you expecting in the way of fans out there?
I think it's going to be a U of A convention, and I also think there will be a lot of Wisconsin fans. And I think you and I are both on the same page, Brad. As long as U of A doesn't beat themselves tomorrow, I mean, they're a 10.5-point favorite. And I know Xavier is a regular in the tournament, Sean Miller's old team, but they have 13 losses. That's tied for the most losses of any of the Sweet 16 teams. So if we look ahead to Wisconsin and Arizona, I mean, I think it's a flip of the coin. We saw a great game last year in Anaheim. The elite game went right down to the wire. U of A had no answer last year for Frank Kaminsky. We'll see what they do this year, if that's the case.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff there. We'll check you out later on in the site. And if something pops up, just jump back on Skype. There's Eric Sorensen in Burbank. So I want to go on the college basketball end of things. Miles Simon will be with us here shortly, and we'll get into the NFL stuff in about 6-7 minutes. U of A, to me, it's pretty simple in watching them, and we've been with them in Vegas. We were with them in Portland. We were at 6 of their home games this year as a company. And I like how TJ McConnell plays the game in a way that reminds me of Aaron Kraft a couple of years ago at Ohio State. Guard play this time of year is absolutely crucial, and he's the real deal. Stanley Johnson going back home to Southern California, to Los Angeles, to have an NCAA Sweet 16 game. He didn't have a great shooting game in Portland last weekend. But I'm hearing from a lot of U of A fans about their easy road through Xavier. It's never easy when you get to Sweet 16, okay? If McConnell gets in foul trouble, they're in trouble. There's no other way to put it. And when you look at the other side of the bracket, with North Carolina and Wisconsin, I think everything is pointing towards a Wisconsin-U of A matchup, although Oregon did push Wisconsin. So we'll talk about that with Miles Simon here in about 20 minutes. The ASU basketball coaching search. So we have some video from yesterday of Ray Anderson. Firing her, here's what I like about Ray Anderson. Ray Anderson has never been an athletic director at the collegiate level, of course. He comes from the NFL side of things. Ray's been here since January, I believe, January, February of last year. It's just over a year. And in a year's time, Ray Anderson has made a change with the baseball coach, re-energized that program, made a very good hire. He's made some changes on some sports that don't necessarily get the frontline view, like wrestling, so to speak. But I'm one of those that's a fan of that program. He has driven the stadium project forward. He has acted swiftly and decisively in the Sendek case. You know, I was hearing stuff all the way back before the Utah game, and after the Utah game in particular, that this wasn't going to end well for Herb. And yet most people over there have this stance of, oh, well, we want to see how he does against USC and in the Pac-12 tournament. And the notion that if he had won two more NIT games that he would have kept his job, to me, is laughable. It's laughable. This is no disrespect to Herb. He needed to go. He needed a change. He's not a bad coach. He's a very nice guy. Very nice guy. But 9 years of seeing this product, and actually, if I just go back through my time here in Arizona, when I was first hired, come out here, people laugh when I tell the story. The sticking point on me leaving my hometown and my cushy gig in San Diego and in Los Angeles and the stuff I was doing over there was I wanted to be the color analyst for Arizona State basketball. And Greg Schulte was nice enough at the time to say, yeah, Brad can have that and work with Tom Dillon and we'll make the move happen. ASU basketball to me, and I came from being a hoopaholic over in Southern California, and college basketball was a big deal. I was caught up in the mirage of ASU basketball. It's a total mirage. It looks great on the outside. It's packed. It was packed in then. Pac-12, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? And so whether it was Frieder or whether it was Rob Evans or now Herb Sendek, all nice guys in their own way, eccentric in one sense with Freed's, Rob Evans was a nice man. He didn't want me at his press conference at the end. It's the way it goes. You go on television and point out the inadequacies of the program and the coaching. It happens. Coaches usually leave mad at people that they feel like they didn't have my back. I don't know. You didn't win. That's kind of the hard deal on this job for some people. Me, it's like, I like Herb. He needed to go. Not that tough. So here's Ray Anderson yesterday. This happened yesterday afternoon. Some video of the athletic director, what he is looking for in a future coach, Ray Anderson.
I thought that Arizona State University men's basketball can be really dynamic. And so I'm looking for someone who has that personality. I'm looking for someone who is a dynamic recruiter. I'm looking for someone who's a dynamic developer of basketball talent. I'm looking for someone who can come in here and energize the people who want ASU basketball to be really electric, to get those people excited about participating and investing and coming out to support the program.
Okay, so there's some little nuggets there if you read in between the lines. He wants people to invest in the program, and what that means is buy tickets, please, and we need a new arena, and that's fine. And those people are aware of it. The big cigars are aware of it. Ray Anderson did not come here to be mediocre. Here's a little bit more from Ray Anderson yesterday.
The status quo and being mediocre is not acceptable here. We didn't come here, and I say this, and I don't mean to be goofy about it, but you know, we didn't come here to be ordinary. We came here to be extraordinary. The person who comes in here will buy into the mission that this is a rocket ship, and they can be part of it if they come in here with the right attitude.
Okay, and what he is saying there is dead flat on right. For 20-plus years, ASU has been mired in mediocrity. They have just kind of had this, it's kind of like Charlie Brown over there. And they get all wound up when I go on this tirade, but it's the first time I've heard an AD where he and I are lock, stock, and barrel saying, this can't keep going on like this. No more excuses. Oh, nobody will come play us. Our building's not good enough. Oh, the fans here, it's a pro sports town. You know, all this stuff that just speaks of we're mediocre and that's just the way it is. Please move on. That's what Ray is saying. I mean, I have to believe, and I don't know this as fact, I have to believe that when they lost at home, when Arizona State played Lehigh on a Sunday afternoon in December, opposite NFL football, that Ray Anderson had to be looking at it like, what in God's name is this? We're never going to drop people. And oh, by the way, we lost the game. That day itself, from every standpoint, is a microcosm of what has been wrong over there. And so I'm hearing Ray Anderson, and I'm just like, yes, yes. Here's somebody that's coming in and saying, we want to be rocket ships. That sounds kind of corny to some people. But I don't know, if you look at him in those last 13 months, they've done nothing but explode. They should never accept how they're treated as the fourth or fifth fiddle in media here. They should never accept that. They're fine on their own. Control your own brand. Digital's where it's at. That's just one thing. On coaching ends of things, yeah, girls basketball, it's fine. No, he's pretty geeked up about how Charlie's been. So there's a lot that I'm going to get into in terms of names. Is Jeff Capel the guy? I mean, if you're going to settle for a guy that was fired at Oklahoma and did a nice job at VCU and has been an assistant who's looking to get back into the game, I don't know. Josh Pastner? Josh Pastner's never won an NCAA tournament game. He's 0-2. It's not like he's been taking him to the tournament. He's 5-20. Josh Pastner, read my lips. 5-20 against AP top 25 teams. That's what you want? I mean, there's positives on those guys too. I'll get to a little bit later on. Aim high, Shaka Smart. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. NFL owners meetings going on. Mike Zimmer spoke this morning on Adrian Peterson. We'll have the latest on that next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So right now, for the NFL owners' meetings, Roger Goodell holding his news conference. And I'm monitoring. He's been asked about Adrian Peterson.
We'll have our people, and I will expect to meet with Adrian before we make a final determination on his status. But we expect to keep to that timetable.
This is Roger Goodell live over at the Biltmore right now. Questions for the commissioner.
The St. Louis stadium plan, do you see progress? Would you like to see more progress?
So he's talking there about Adrian Peterson, that is newsworthy, that he is going to have to meet with Adrian Peterson still. And earlier this morning, Mike Zimmer, this morning over at the Biltmore, all the coaches were available. And somebody did ask Bruce Arians about Adrian Peterson. And Bruce's response is, that's tampering, dude. You know, you have to understand your place. Some poor reporter from some TV station, go get the coach. We have to hear from him on Adrian Peterson. Okay. I don't even like sports. Okay, we'll go over there. Coach, can you talk about Adrian? That's tampering, dude. Shot him down. Here is Mike Zimmer, though. This was really interesting this morning. Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, was asked about Adrian Peterson. All Cardinal fans want the latest on this, and the Vikings sound very dug in. Here's Mike Zimmer.
You know, we fully expect him to be here. It's no different. I think that he's done some unbelievable things in our community and in the state, and you know, we're supporting him until he gets back, and all his teammates are excited to get him back, and coaches and organization and fans, so it should be all systems go.
All right, so all systems go. Sounds pretty confident. We got this figured out. We don't have any problems. I don't know. We have a contract with him. Mike Zimmer was asked further over his omelet this morning, I guess, you know, over breakfast. Hey, by the way, coach, we want to make you choke on your Cheerios here. What if Adrian Peterson doesn't want to come back to Minnesota like his agent says? Here's more Mike Zimmer.
Well, I'm not going to speculate on what he wants or doesn't want, but, you know, Adrian's under contract for 3 more years with us, and, that's why you sign these contracts, why you get these big bonuses, you know?
You know? Hey, he's under contract. Let me slurp on my grapefruit juice. We are dug in. What that is saying is, and here's one last short little bit from Mike Zimmer, who said, you won't trade Peterson, does the same go? Oh, Cordell Patterson. They were asked about Cordell Patterson. They won't trade Cordell Patterson. Would he trade Adrian Peterson?
We have no plans to trade Adrian Miller.
Okay. So what I take out of that is, here is an organization, and I spoke with someone in Minnesota who said, when they went through Percy Harvin, they sounded all dug in and they eventually went different ways. Now, is that the same case here with Adrian Peterson? He is under contract. I've taken the stance on this one that I think his agent is giving him some bad advice on this. There's really no win. There's no win for Adrian. He's damaging his reputation in Minnesota. If you think that we're just going to be so dug in that a team will eventually trade us, the Vikings are now sounding very much like rattling the sabers of, no, he's under contract. He can rot as far as we're concerned. We're not trading him. Now, if somebody came along and blew their doors off, I think that the tone would change. I was over at the meetings yesterday, and Tampa Bay is a team now that's been kicked around. Jacksonville, Dallas, and the Cardinals. But if you're a Cardinal fan, would you trade the 24th pick for Adrian Peterson? You've got to offer something that would blow their doors off. Would Steve Keim mortgage a first-round pick? Now, granted, it's towards the bottom of the first round. Is it smart business for the Arizona Cardinals to look at their window of opportunity, which is wide open right now, to compete in the NFC? We don't know how much longer Carson Palmer is going to be here, and I'll get to that in a second, a story on that front. But if they're that dug in Minnesota, then it tells me, you guys have to come blow our doors off in order for us to even consider trading for Adrian Peterson. Would Cardinal fans want them to part with a first-round pick? It's a pretty steep price tag. This notion of Larry Fitzgerald, that's not happening. Would I be open to trading Michael Floyd in a first-round pick? Yeah, I would. Michael Floyd's been a nice player at times. He's been very inconsistent at times. Enough said. I think you can find wide receivers within an offense. If you can't find Adrian Peterson, though, you can't find Adrian Peterson within the draft in all likelihood at number 24. Melvin Gordon is gone. And it is a running back deep draft, and the Cardinals have done very, very well. I have this we trust Steve Keim approach, and there's no reason not to. But would I blink at all if the Cardinals said, we're trading our number one pick, the 24th overall, for Adrian Peterson? No, I wouldn't. But I think that that's where it's going to go, is you have to have that type of something that will blow the Vikings' doors off. What does Peterson have as an advantage right now? I don't see where Adrian Peterson has an advantage. You know, the Vikings are in a position of control on this one. The only position that he has is what his agent's trying to do, and that's just say, we're not coming, tough, deal with it. Now, on the quarterback side, Brett Hundley is going to have a workout for the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals should work out everybody and anybody at all positions. I have no problem with that. But if we look at the quarterback situation of the Cardinals long-term, is the right person in place long-term? Carson Palmer was injured not once but twice last year. People like to bring up the knee, but I don't know. I'm the wet blanket on this whole deal. Brittle, fragile, whatever term you would like to use. And then we saw what happened after he went down. So you can never have enough quarterbacks on your roster, and you have to develop one long-term. The fact that the Cardinals are going to have a private workout for Brett Hundley, reportedly, I sent Brett a text this morning, I haven't heard back from him yet. I think that's smart. You know, if I'm them, I would find my way to work out as many of these guys as possible, unless there's no way they get to Mariota or Winston. But anybody beyond that, sure, you'll work out Grayson at Colorado State. Knock yourself out. To that end, Todd Bowles is flying. Yesterday I was talking to some people at the meetings. So the word is the Jets are going to fly to Eugene, Oregon after the meetings end tomorrow to meet with Marcus Mariota, and that they're going to work him out. It would seem to me that the Jets would be a defense team with Geno Smith on there rather than go in with a quarterback with their head coach Todd Bowles. But it's interesting, all the stuff flying around. And the other big storyline out there that I sensed was Philip Rivers, San Diego, number two overall pick to Tennessee. Would Ken Whisenhunt do that? He's familiar with Rivers, obviously. The Titans are not good. They have Zach Mettenberger, who they kind of sort of like. Do they need that quarterback? Would Rivers and a package be the right fit for Tennessee? That's been blowing around a little bit, too. On the other side, we're going to switch gears. College basketball, Miles Simon, I think a riser in the industry, former University of Arizona Wildcat, will join us. We'll talk with Miles about tomorrow night's Sweet 16 matchup for U of A, the way the bracket is working through. I'm also going to talk to him about the Arizona State head coaching situation, the opening there, and I'm going to run some names by him, and much, much more as we continue on a busy Wednesday. Our website, 24/7 stuff that we see going on in the world of sports. It is sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate that partnership. Miles Simon is next. Reminder, Eric Sorensen is in Los Angeles. He checked in with us earlier via Skype. He will be at U of A's workouts and shoot-arounds this afternoon and there throughout the weekend. I was in Portland and Vegas. I needed a break before going to Indianapolis, potentially. I think Jarrett Cohen's going to go with us as well. Miles Simon joins us now, U of A national championship winning guard, ESPN college basketball analyst. Here's the thing on U of A guards, or just players. Like tomorrow we have Matt Muehlbach coming on. Sean Elliott came on last week. Steve Kerr used to come on with us a bunch. I don't know. I just see all these former players making the transition easily and nicely. We will say this, and we said this earlier, so Miles, I'm not sucking up to you before I put you on the air. You're a riser in the industry. There's no question about it. You're skyrocketing, so to speak, and it looks like analysis work has been well for you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, well, I appreciate the kind words. I truly enjoy my job. I mean, they pay me to talk about college basketball. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So I have a lot of fun with it, and I really appreciate it.
Miles Simon with us. It would only be difficult if it was Arizona State in the Sweet 16 for you to talk about, right? Rather than U of A? I mean, that might be a little hard, but it's not the case, but that might be the only hard part, right?
Yeah, that could be a little bit more difficult, but the Wildcats are getting it done.
So what is it about U of A that concerns you at this point? Let's go with the concerns first.
The concerns first. I think that Stanley Johnson not playing well last game or not shooting the ball well was a concern. I think, and I'm going back to the first game against Texas Southern where they gave up 72 points, you know, to a team that's the 15th seed. And I know I was reading Coach Miller's quote. He wasn't happy with the defensive effort in that game. But I think maybe those two things. I think other than that, they've been pretty solid. DJ McConnell's been great. We saw Gabe York knocking down shots at a high level last game. But I do like the improvement defensively when they shut down a guy like D'Angelo Russell, who's absolutely taken over some games in the Big Ten this season. Arizona's playing well.
Can they win it all if Stanley plays like he did up at Portland? And my view, and I was there, as long as TJ McConnell's on the floor, anything's possible with this team. If he's off the floor for whatever reason for an extended period, I think they're in huge trouble.
Yeah, they can win if Stanley doesn't play well. And I'm just talking about scoring in. I think Stanley's still been much improved over the season on the defensive end. He's a good rebounder. He buys into the team, you know, to the team concept, so they can, because Rondé's still been a factor. Ashley's playing well. York knocking down shots. And TJ has shown throughout the season, when need be, he can put points on the board, you know, and not just be an assist guy or a defensive guy or a team leader. So, yeah, it's definitely possible because this team has enough weapons on the offensive end this year and great balance on that end that they can do it. And, yeah, TJ cannot leave the floor for any extended period of time. He has to stay out of foul trouble, which for the most part throughout the season he has, because he's the smartest, the toughest player out there, and it seems like he wants to take and make big shots.
Miles Simon with Brad Sussmat, U of A national championship winning guard, ESPN college basketball analyst, Sweet 16 tomorrow. Tough one here. If you are looking at U of A's program top to bottom through the years, where would you put TJ McConnell among point guards that have come out of the U of A?
Oh man, that's a tough category because there's so many great ones. If we count, you know, Steve Kerr and then Uelbach, and you go to Damon and Jason Terry and Mike Bibby.
Right.
But the impact that TJ has made in just 2 years has been tremendous. I don't think his leadership is, I'm not going to say unmatched, but right up there with some of the best leaders that Lute Olson has ever had. And I'm sure in Sean Miller's tenure, TJ has to be the best leader that Sean has had in his time. Now, the numbers aren't going to rank out with being one of the best, but TJ is going to go down as an all-time fan favorite and Wildcat favorite, as he should.
Yeah. I mean, I threw that question at some veteran media that have covered the Cats for years and years and years, and they struggled with the answer too, because you're splitting hairs, okay? But on the other hand, when you look at the intangibles with him, did those other guards, when they weren't on the court, was there enough talent to help the team go? And in TJ's case, it just seems like they go from overdrive to low gear when he's not on the court right now. That's no disrespect to the other players. It's just he's at a different level. Does that make sense to you, Miles?
Yeah, it does. Just because of the type of intensity that he plays with and his will to win, he has an innate ability to put guys on his back, and it's like an infectious attitude or mentality that he has, because he really doesn't care about too many things except for the bottom line. He cares about pretty much two letters, W and L.
Yeah.
Those are the only two things that matter to him,
yeah.
And that's the type of player you want to have on your team, and that's why you can be so successful. You know, he may not be the most athletic guy, the quickest guy, the highest jumper, but man, the other things he brings to the table, you can't really account for what's inside of his brain and what's inside of his heart.
It was kind of funny after the game against Ohio State. I went into the media session and I asked him, You know, you had 15, five boards, five assists, five steals, only 15 players have ever done that. He's like, yeah, we won the game. That's it. Let's move on. Give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, that's been their whole deal. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, right to your point on that, that stuff just doesn't mean anything to him. Talking to Miles Simon for a couple of minutes. The team that you look at that will give Arizona the most trouble the remainder of this tournament outside of Kentucky?
Wow. I'm going to say there's two. There's first I'll go Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wisconsin has been steady all season long. We know what happened last year in the Elite Eight. They pretty much have the same team back. I was just reading before we got on the phone that Trayvon Jackson took some reps in practice today or in the last couple days, so he could be back. Kaminsky is a matchup problem for any and every team that they play. Sam Decker is a good player. And then also the Duke Blue Devils. Duke can really score the basketball. They spread you out. They can play four out, one in. They can go a little bit bigger when Emile Jefferson or Plumlee's in the game. And then they have a serious problem down low because Jahlil Okafor, he is a man down there. He handled double teams against San Diego State. Quinn Cook and Tyus Jones are studs at the guard position. So those two teams, probably outside of Kentucky, I think are the two other best teams along with Arizona.
Talking with Miles Simon for a couple of minutes. U of A tomorrow night against Xavier, Sweet 16. The former Wildcat guard, now ESPN analyst with us for a couple of minutes. Let me switch gears over to coaches. So yesterday here in Arizona, Arizona State dismissed Herb Sendek, and Josh Pastner's name immediately was brought up. He still is the coach at Memphis. Could you see a Josh Pastner Arizona State marriage?
I could, and I think it would be a great marriage. And Josh is a guy that could energize the fan base there. I know firsthand for the past 20 years, the energy and the passion Josh has for anything that he puts his mind to. He's had great success at Memphis, albeit maybe not in the NCAA tournament so far, but he has won a lot of games. We know he can recruit. I could definitely see Josh sitting in there at ASU.
Jeff Capel's name has been brought up. Are you familiar with Jeff Capel?
I am familiar with Jeff Capel. Did a good job at VCU, went to Oklahoma, got Blake Griffin to go there. Has been the top recruiter for Duke, I think, to get guys like Okafor and Tyus Jones, Jabari Parker over the last couple of years. And overall, a great individual, somebody that I really like.
What do you make out of this program, Miles, in your analyst chair? If you put your playing career off to the side, but in the analyst role, they've rolled through Bill Frieder and Rob Evans and Herb Sendek, and all three have left the door as fired coaches. They were coaches that were Coach of the Year in their previous jobs before coming to Arizona State. What do you make out of that job in Tempe? Why can't they win?
I think it's actually a pretty good job. I think it's a place where you can win. I kind of follow the recruiting stuff fairly closely, and there's some talent in the state right now, and especially in the greater Phoenix area.
Sure.
That if you can keep some of those kids home, namely, let's say Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
You know, you have a great chance to be successful. There's, you got to be able to dip into LA and get some players, maybe into Texas. Great practice facility. Maybe the arena needs to be upgraded some. But like if football and softball and baseball and all these other programs can be successful there's no reason that hoops can't either.
Is there a coach or two out there you feel like, as you sit in your analyst chair, that should be under consideration? Whether it's for ASU or just this hiring cycle, guys that you look at and you say, they're ready for a Pac-12 job. We're talking specifically about ASU.
Man, I mean, the two we mentioned would be great. I think a guy like Steve Lavin is a great energy guy. If you want to go the assistant coaching route, there's a guy at San Diego State that's really good, and Justin Hudson. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if that's the route that I think it's Mr. Anderson is the athletic director at ASU, if he wants to go that route. But I think those are some of the names that can really energize it. Russell Turner at UCI has done an excellent job. He's been in the NBA, got UCI to the NCAA tournament this year. Those are just a few that pop off at the top of my head. Maybe Randy Bennett, who's been extremely successful at St. Mary's. So those are a few of the guys that come to mind right away.
Yeah, I think the thing here is, would you pay a basketball coach more than a football coach? And if you did, then a guy like Shaka Smart is somebody that maybe Ray Anderson makes a run after. But everybody's going to make a run after the Smarts and the Greg Marshalls and those names this year, I think, in this hiring cycle.
Yeah, Craig, I don't see Shaka Smart coming to Arizona State anytime soon. I think he's good there. I think there's other jobs that he can wait on, you know, over time that he would take.
All right. Before I let you go, then, is U of A going to win this thing? Are they going to match up with Kentucky? I could do the whole how do they beat Kentucky, but they got to get through the next couple of games. What do you think?
U of A goes to the Final Four. They'll handle Xavier tomorrow night. And I think they'll play a great game against Wisconsin and exact revenge for what happened in the Elite Eight last year. The biggest difference is that Brandon Ashley will be playing. If you remember in last year's game, Frank Kaminsky gave the Wildcats trouble and pick-and-pop opportunities that Caleb Tarzewski really couldn't get out and recover to some of those, and Kaminsky knocking down some threes or Trayvon Jackson turning the corner. But this year with Ashley in there, when they go a little bit smaller with Tarzewski out of the game, I think Arizona beats Wisconsin, plays Kentucky in the national semifinals in Indy.
Good stuff there, Miles. Appreciate you coming on. Really enjoyed the conversation. Look forward to doing it again sometime. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for having me, man. Have a great day.
You got it. Miles Simon for a couple of minutes. ESPN college basketball analyst and another Arizona Wildcat in the analyst role. He's a riser. There's no question about it, man. He was good. Really good stuff. This segment of the show is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I talk about the relationship with Santan Ford. I don't have any notes in front of me. I don't, you know, I'll just throw this down. I don't have any notes in front of me, all right? Here's the thing. It's a partnership and it's a relationship. And that's how it should be for you when you go buy your next vehicle. Was it Sunday morning? I got a text from a friend, media friend. Said, I hear you talking about Santan Ford. Can you get me over to Tim Hovick? I'm interested in buying a vehicle. I sent Tim a text. So-and-so is coming your way. Great. And away they go. And you have to have confidence in that person that you're working with. I get a text yesterday from Tim and his people, and they said, we want you to come to our March Madness party Thursday over at Marley's. We want to hang out with you. We want you to be with us. And that's what it is. We're going to talk some hoops, talk some stuff. Now, what does that have to do with buying a vehicle? It has to do with everything. I bought vehicles there before. My wife, I just bought her an Explorer, a certified pre-owned Explorer that makes a lot of sense for us in this stage in our life. I drive right now, and I do so proudly. This morning, I'm in my hybrid, 53.5 miles per gallon. 53. Yeah, I was going the speed limit. Sure. Doesn't matter. When I drive by a gas station, I see $2.40 for a gallon of gas. What a waste that is. 53 miles. So it makes a lot of sense for me, the Fusion Hybrid, as busy as I am with my lifestyle. And I drive that vehicle from Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford. Tonight is a playoff game for the Phoenix Suns, and it's only March. I'll explain that on the other side. Plus, we're going to circle back on the ASU basketball coaching search and the latest from the NFL meetings. Roger Goodell has wrapped up his press conference as we continue on a busy Wednesday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
Twitter's going crazy over Miles Simon. I get it about TJ McConnell, and I've gushed over him a ton, but I think it's a terrific debate. Jared Cohen is here too, and he is a follower of U of A. He went to U of A. He graduated from U of A. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have blinders on, you know.
No blinders.
No, it's fine.
Windshield wipers.
It's fine. Where would you come down on that question about if you're talking about T.J. McConnell in the place of greatest point guards at the U of A of all time? Would you come down on that? Do you have to wait to see if he wins a title?
I think the best time to have that debate is when the season is over. It's really easy to get blindsided about how the great things he's doing right now and the impact that he's making. But I don't think there's any question he deserves to be in the mix. I mean, I grew up watching Khalid Reeves and Damon Stoudemire and Mike Bibby and Jason Terry. Those guys were incredible. And they went on to have some professional careers.
Sure.
And they did some great things statistically. However, The only one that was able to carry them to a national championship was Mike Bibby and Jason Terry coming off the bench. Khalid Reeves didn't do that. Mighty Mouse didn't do that. You know, it's
Mighty Mouse.
Damon Stoudamire.
I'm not a fan here.
And I'm not a fan. Just speaking. It's a factual.
That was his nickname.
It's a factual.
Just giving you a hard
name.
Time.
I think if he takes them to a national championship, he does something that. I mean, Jason Gardner was able to do that. I can't forget him. It's tough, but what he has done and the importance he has had to this team and this program to kind of try to get to the next level has been invaluable, and I think the Wildcat Nation will always remember it.
Wildcat Nation, that sounds cheerleader-ish.
I could say
just a little bit, not too much.
I could say anything, and you would put that.
No,
on
it's fine. It's fine. I have
no pom poms over here.
No pom pom. That's right.
I'm just speaking the way I see it.
So no, but I have a man crush on McConnell. Just the way that he handled, and I mentioned to Miles, he had the 15-5-5-5 game against Ohio State, and I asked him about it. He's just kind of like, yeah, well, whatever we won as a team, and I'm going to go make my peanut butter and jelly, and
yeah,
we're going to move on.
How many times, though, what's more impressive with him is in those stats is at the end of games, you look at the sheet, and it says an assist-to-turnover ratio of 6-0, 7-1, 8-2,
yeah.
You know? I mean, that is what's made him so incredible, and what he's done on the defensive end.
But I do think, look, I think U of A's got some warts. You know, let's not sit here and just say right now, and most teams fall into this category. I don't think they have to play a perfect game to beat Kentucky. I think they have it, but they have to play close to it. Most every other team has to play absolutely perfect to beat Kentucky. There's a difference there. U of A's got the potential, but man, Tarzewski has not been anything to get excited about on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. Any U of A, even fans up in Portland were ripping on him, were getting on his case. You know, Stanley Johnson had a bad shooting game. That's going to happen. You know, the Gabe York play in the Ohio State game is terrific. The Gabe York play in Texas Southern was not. And Sean brought that up right afterwards, after the Texas Southern, that we got to get Gabe on track. Gabe York doesn't hit those threes, okay? And that's the old adage, Jared, live by the three, die by the three. You know, fans will say, oh, he's going to be terrific tomorrow night. I don't know that, because he wasn't terrific against Texas Southern.
And that's why Sean will say off the bat, he said this during the either UCLA game or Oregon game after the first half. I think it was the Oregon game, and U of A was putting up a lot of threes. He doesn't want them to be live by the three, die by the three. He doesn't want them hoisting up those shots and trying to shoot over the zone. They needed to do that against Ohio State, and they got it from Gabe York. But Sean doesn't want them to do that. That's not their primary motive when they're working an offense, and he's made note of that. So if Gabe York, if they're working from the inside out, and if nothing's there on the inside, with TJ penetrating or Rondé getting into the middle with the ball, even Brandon
Hollis
Ashley.
Hollis Jefferson
and McConnell and holla. If they
Thank
are not
you.
Working it out to the outside, this is my analyst talk so I can help you decipher.
No.
When they want threes from York.
Yes. When you call them on first name basis, it just sounds a little too cheerleaderish. That's all.
I would talk about
That's all I'm
Trey
saying.
And Shaq and
oh god
Connor.
Just,
you know,
just, oh, just
same thing.
Enough.
It's about the context. It's not about the dialogue.
I understand. It's Jared Cohen here. He's with me today. So the Suns have won four in a row. They are three games back of Oklahoma City, and they have the Thunder. The Thunder play at San Antonio tonight. The Suns host OKC on Sunday night. So this is a playoff game for the Suns tonight. You don't lose at home to Sacramento tonight. They've played better. You know, I'm not going to get all excited. I hear some people around town that are just hyperventilating and trying to make this into the greatest thing ever. They're fighting to get out of the ninth seed into the eighth seed. You know, this has just been another season of just kind of slugging along. And I think the interesting side of this with the Suns is that they have a shot at chasing Oklahoma City. I think San Antonio wins tonight. Suns should beat Sacramento. They're two back. They have OKC here on Sunday night. You win that, you're one game back. Okay, so you have some time. Lose tonight. Thunder win tonight. You're four back. You're pretty much done. So this is a playoff game tonight. Golden State clinched their first division title last night since 1976. 1976 was the last time they did it. And here's the thing, they're not going away anytime soon. And I bring this up because the Suns are in a division that continues to just churn out good, most importantly, young teams. And I just don't see Golden State going away anytime soon. I don't care what they do in the playoffs. There's been this whole debate that they're not going to win. They're too young. They're too finesse. They're not tough enough. They're not this. They're not that. That's going to happen this time of year. They're going to pick teams apart. But I have to totally admire what Steve Kerr has done up there this season. And that the Warriors, what they did when they said, you know, Mark Jackson, you're not the right fit, so get out of here. And that the Warriors gave Steve Kerr a sell job because Steve Kerr could have been in New York coaching the Knicks this year. And what a death trap that would be. And what is an absolute nightmare of a job that would be. The other NBA story that caught my eye is Kevin Love picking Russell Westbrook over LeBron for the MVP this year. So Kevin Love did an interview and he said right now if he had his vote, if there was a vote on it, that he would vote for Russell Westbrook over LeBron. And essentially it was because LeBron missed that point in time in the season. Quote, I would just say because of time spent on the court. You know, Bron took those few games off and those couple of weeks off. They're both having MVP-type seasons, but I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook because every single night you're looking at his stat sheet. They're fighting for a playoff spot, even with Serge Ibaka going down, Kevin Durant potentially being out the rest of the year. And Westbrook is still going out there and really fighting for a team and winning and fighting for that seventh and eighth playoff spots. I think Russ is arguably having the better season. So, you know, on one hand, you would be a really good teammate to say, well, of course, it's my guy LeBron, and you can make a case for Westbrook. You can make a case for Harden, but you can make a case for Curry. But it's really, you know, LeBron should be the guy. No, Kevin Love doesn't do that. Kevin Love says, well, he took those 2 weeks off. He didn't say he was injured. He said he took them off, which to me is a shot. There's been this narrative that Kevin Love's going to opt out and we're going to see him next year in a Lakers uniform. And if in fact that happens, once again, the Suns are going to be looking at another team in the Western Conference in the Pacific Division that's improving. It's really hard to get out of the ditch. It's really hard. To me, it would be a major accomplishment for the Suns this year to make the playoffs. To finish in the ninth spot again, show me a little bit of progress. Give me something here. And right now, they're three games out. So tonight is a big, big night for them. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content on our site right now. If you're just finding us for the first time, welcome on board. We've been doing this for 3 years, growing by leaps and bounds. It's a great staff that we have. We get after stuff locally on the pro, the college, the high school level. We have no order on this. You know, I'll just tell you, I'm not going to sit here and talk backup left tackles and do video work on that stuff. That's not happening. There's a lot of things going on in Arizona. And we do a lot of football. Peter King is on with us every week. We don't mess around. We're the best in the business. I'm Brad Sussmann. Off we go into hour number two. It is a good Wednesday. We've just been cruising. It's one of my... I love today's show. I love most every day I do this show. The only nightmare about this show is the people. You know, I mean, Jared Nielsen just gets in the way and causes problems, our chairman of the board. And Jared Cohen is over there wearing his red, white, and blue glasses. And, you know, Eric is in Los Angeles and he's screwing around today. He's going to jump on with us at some point, or he did earlier. And we may have him on here in a minute or two. I don't know. He's doing his thing out in L.A., and he's going to be over at the Staples Center. In all seriousness, we will be with the University of Arizona Wildcats again, as we've been in Vegas, as we have been in Portland, and the road to the Final Four, we're seeing if we can go all the way with them, if in fact the story warrants it. If they lose, we're not going to travel the Final Four this year. You know, I just don't see it. But, you know, having Eric out there, is half the fun. Some of the other things that are going on, we'll check in. Do we have him? Is that what you're telling me, Jared? I can't see that. What are you, nuts?
You can't read that. All right, we have Paula. She's on the air.
We have Paula?
Yep.
What are we sitting here screwing around with Paula? Is she in L.A.? Are you in L.A., Paula Bovin?
I am about 3 feet from Eric Sorensen in a car right now.
You're about 3 feet?
In L.A.
What is he, your chauffeur? Yeah.
Exactly as I begged him to pick me up at the airport at Burbank, and he did.
I know we have this partnership with AZ Central. Is this part of the partnership I'm not aware of, that we are like valet and chauffeuring? And is that what this has come to?
That's part of the partnership contract. Did you know that? It's the chauffeur.
I'm going to have to pick up Dan. I'm going to have to pick up Dan and, you know, like in a rental car or Paul or, you know.
I thought you knew all this, Brad.
Stuff is coming in. Yeah. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist and good friend, who we were together in Portland, we were together in Vegas. You're out in LA with Eric as you get ready to do your angles, your things. So I had Miles Simon on about 20 minutes ago, and he was just raving on the air about Josh Pastner, but did say he's never won a NCAA tournament game. He's 0-2, so I think that's worth noting. He also said that that T.J. McConnell, in his mind, let me go back and get the quote for you because you'll appreciate this. Miles Simon, you can't account for what's inside his brain, T.J. McConnell. You can't account for what's inside his brain and what's inside his heart. That was his quote. T.J. McConnell's going to go down as an all-time Wildcat fan favorite, as he should. Continuing his quote. So
I was just telling someone this the other day. I was totally fine with him not getting the Pac-12 Player of the Year. I mean, I thought he was great, but I thought, you know, Joseph Young, how can you argue with that one?
Yeah.
But after seeing McConnell close up all these games when it mattered so much, I think he should have won it. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It's not even close, right? If we're talking National Player of the Year, Okafor is going to get all the attention, and I get it. And there's some other players off the top of my head. But if you were to just look at the importance of McConnell, because if he's in foul trouble, if he sprains an ankle, whatever, they lose. They lose.
Right. Yeah, no, you need to get him. I'm sorry, I'm helping Eric with directions here.
Don't crash. Jeez.
Yeah, no kidding. No, he has to be in the lineup. I mean, that whole thing of making people around him better, it's true. He's raised the level of play of everybody around him. And he also, you know, he's a guy that's in their face during the games. I've noticed that too. And he talk about accountability to the coach. There's also accountability to your point guard. No question.
No, he was getting on Tarzewski, as he should have, on more than one occasion up in Portland that I saw. I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Tarzewski because I've been thinking about him lately, and he's kind of had a down season. I mean, I know he does a lot of things that you don't see from the people don't talk so much about rebounding and everything else, but I thought he'd be more a factor in games. And if they, you know, go ahead and are facing Wisconsin on Saturday, I mean, he'll be huge. This could be the thing that makes him decide if he decides to turn pro or not. Cause I think there's still uncertainty there.
Well, the way he's played, I think in both, in Vegas and in Portland, I would say you need to stay another year. But you
know, I agree.
But NBA people will always look at the size of the frame and say, look, you're only going to develop more if you come into the league, and we'll work with you and you get your clock running in terms of a paycheck and all that stuff.
Right.
But sometimes, Paula, you're better off staying that extra year, and your draft stock may go up. If Okafor comes out, which he's going to, and you start going through all the bigs, is Tarzewski going to be a late first-round pick? Is he a second-round pick? You know, he's going to have to look that. I would say he's got to stay. But do you think they get out of this region?
I do. I think this is the year, and it's, again, it kind of just comes from seeing who they are lately. Mm-hmm. And there's just, it feels different from last year. And I think it's the McConnell thing, a lot of it. If I understand correctly, I think this is the first time that that Sean Miller has had a point guard for two straight years. And I think it's just made such a difference with this team. So, I think this is the year. I watched Wisconsin. They're terrific, but I think they can lose. And I think they're going to lose to Arizona.
Paula Bovin being driven, chauffeured by Eric Sorensen in his, he does have like this big limousine car, if I remember correctly, black tinted windows.
A sweet ride. Yeah, it's a very sweet ride.
Yeah, I didn't know Nissan made something like that, but that's fine. before you get out of here, while you're going over to U of A's deal, neither one of us are surprised that Herb was let go, right?
Right.
And so do you have a clubhouse favorite? Do you have somebody they should look at? I am wanting to then hold off and let's see where things finish after the Final Four, because there's some people that could become available that you would have never expected. Where are you on this?
Yeah, I would agree. I just, you don't want to rush this hire. I know that, you know, the pieces start happening pretty quickly, but bottom line is you want to get this right. And I know that they're not using a search firm, so this is going to be Ray Anderson's. He's probably using some of his connections and things like that. So, yeah, I just think, you know, just see what else is happening. Make that decision. There's some good names out there. Don't rush it. You have to bring a lot of guys in. Bring a lot of guys in, because the importance is, I think, getting the right fit for ASU, and that includes a lot more than X and O's. It's about personality. It's about meeting boosters. It's about all that stuff. So,
Pastner is 5-20 against top 25 teams in his run, AP top 25 teams in his run at Memphis. He's 0-2 in March Madness.
Right.
Is that enough to say you got to go better than that? Or he has personality, look what he did at U of A, and he can recruit. Jeff Capel got fired at Oklahoma, was awful after Blake Griffin left. He is able to recruit. He was at VCU. He was at Oklahoma. Then he didn't get a head coaching gig. He went back, I think, to reinvent himself. You know, am I inspired by either one of those choices? Me personally, no. How about you?
Well, here's the thing, Brad. Anybody who's available is because he probably got fired at some point, and he got fired because something wasn't happening. So I think unless you're going with a hot young assistant, and I don't think ASU has that mind frame, there's going to be issues with that kind of thing. So, you know, I think you have to look at the lesser of a couple evils. And I personally, I think Pastner's worth the risk, because there's so many other qualities with him regarding just his ability, I think, to help fundraising, obviously to recruit, all that stuff. So, you know, I don't have a problem at all if they would go in that direction. But we may be surprised. I heard it's not settled on anybody, from what I understand. The cable thing was blown out of proportion,
at least the
people I talked to. So,
yeah.
Yep. So we'll see.
I think names like Avery Johnson are going to surface on this one. You know, that's a name.
Interesting. Now, that would be interesting.
Now, it's just
that is an interesting name I had not heard of.
Yeah, that's one that's, you know, you start having people that are connected to people that are connected to people reach out to you, and they want their names thrown around in seriousness, and it's like,
right.
You know how this works. So.
No, I know exactly how it works.
Safe travels. Sure. It sounds like you need it with Eric at controls, so I'll let you go.
All right, Brad. Good talking to you.
See you. There's Paula Bovin. I didn't know our company turned into like Uber. I didn't know that. You know, it's Jared, I send Eric on the road to go cover stuff, and then I find out that he has this side deal going where he's like an Uber driver for Paula. I mean, how does that work?
Any way to make an extra buck, right?
Is that how bad we are here? Do I just not pay enough? You know, so he's got like the little black chauffeur hat on, and he went to the airport to pick up Paula.
He's just a classy individual.
I know he's classy, but is he desperate for money? Do I need to give him a 50-cent raise? Or
that's,
what is the deal
That's a
here?
Conversation with him. I couldn't speak for him.
If you look, so you're going to Indianapolis.
Yes.
If U of A wins.
If.
We've already decided that.
Big if.
May go, I may not. I don't know. But you're not going to pick Paul up at the airport, are you? I mean,
hopefully Paula could pick me up and show me the ropes.
Yeah, I mean,
bit. Blow
her off. Just, you know, I can't drive you around. I'm here to work.
Can I tell you a side note, true story of something that just popped across my Twitter timeline?
Yeah, sure.
A coaching candidate, a new one.
Yeah.
Alvin Gentry.
Yeah. Okay.
You
it's fine.
Take whatever you want with that, but
and
I just wanted
I had
to
people
throw
that
it
were
way.
Pushing. No, and I had people pushing Mike D'Antoni last night. So it's you know, I've had some people said go back to Doug Collins and see if Doug would be interested. He's a Sun Devil. You know, we need there is that group that will say, we need a Sun Devil. We gotta have a Sun Devil. Like, I'm getting beat up.
Go get Byron Scott. He might be out of a job soon.
I'm getting beat up on, well, you're doing all this U of A stuff. Yeah, because they win. They're in the Sweet 16. They have a program that drew 10,000 people to Las Vegas. Like, ASU had nobody there. The program is at zero. So, all right. @Brad Cesmat, Cesmat. We have our Twitter timeline as well for Sports 360 AZ. Just go to that one. Eric is in Los Angeles. He will have plenty of video content. Probably a little bit of a Uber update from he driving Paula around and much more. Stay with us.
like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.